So this week we're going to be starting with Romans, one of my favorite books of the Bible. You probably have every preacher who goes like, yeah, this is my favorite book, you know, but every book they say that about, just kind of, you know, fill words in the sermon. I've noticed that. But we're going to be talking about tension these next 3 weeks. And we as humans, I think, hate tension. I'm one of those, if I know someone is either tense or angry about something, I start to get all awkward, and the way I am, I try to fix everything. So if they're upset, either with me or at someone, I'll start to like try to help them feel better or make them laugh or something like that, even if that's not what I should be doing in the moment. Is there anyone else that's like that in this room, or is that just me? No? No. Okay, thank you. I was about to say, please don't tell me I'm the only one. Okay, thank God. Okay. It's awful, isn't it? It's awful. But all right, better listen to Levi over there. Oh, man. Okay, I'm good. Sorry about that. And since Levi says I'm not funny, I need to go straight into the scriptures then. So we're going to be looking at Romans. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Good stuff, good stuff. Romans chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 17. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from the faith. And you also, who are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all who in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but I have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. I am obligated to both Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last. Just as it is written, The righteous will live by faith. Excuse me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Sorry for butchering that whole scripture right there, but it's okay. So, as we start to talk about tension, Paul starts by addressing tension here in the first 5 or 6 verses here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, first of all, showing that he is not ashamed to be a follower of Jesus, boldly saying, I am a servant, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel that he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So first, he's talking about Jesus as being the fulfillment of the prophecy that the Old Testament prophets had spoken long before, that a Messiah would come. The reason he's doing all of this clarification, all of this addressing tension here, is because the early church was struggling. You know, a lot of the time, I've caught myself saying, and I feel like a lot of people in general say this too. You can either raise your hand if you said it before or not. I wish our church would go back to the early church. I wish that church was more like the early church, more communal in setting, gathering in the houses, breaking bread together, always eating, and always unified. And I know during this time period as our denomination in general has been going through these troubles of this divisive decisions that we have to make. I know that I've thought that before. But when you study these scriptures, you start to see that Paul is actually addressing a lot of issues. He goes on, verse 3, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David and through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. There was a debate that Jesus was either fully human or fully God. There's no in between. You can't be both human and God. Well, this Paul is saying, no, that's not true. God came down in human form, being fully holy, fully God, and fully human. Again, addressing the tension, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, was declared the Son of God. Paul is pointing out that Jesus is the Son of God, pointing out that he is the ultimate Son, regardless of what any other false prophets at this time are saying. One thing I've noticed about today, people my age, is what I call the millennial Christianity, and that is this. It's the idea of loving each other, just being nice to everyone around you, treat others as you want to be treated, but taking Jesus out of the picture. There's a belief that we can do that without having the true knowledge of God in our hearts. That's what a lot of my friends are saying, and they don't really talk about this Jesus guy. But I think Paul is pointing to something else here. If he's going to go on to say, Jesus the Son of God, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, Paul is saying, no, that's not possible. First, we need to understand who Jesus really is, the Son of God, the man who defeated death. Through him and for his namesake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also who are among those are called to belong to Jesus Christ. He's addressing this final part of the tension here. Everyone is called, not just Jew, not just a certain sect of people. God is not calling a certain set of people or perfect people. God is simply calling faithful people, people who long to pursue him, who long to better themselves, who long for a more perfect union with God, to have a relationship with Jesus. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we go on, we start to talk about more of what God is, or what Paul is saying right here. Think about the last time you had tension with someone. Last time you had an argument, any sort of tension within yourself, of what am I going to do the next day, what am I going to do later today, or with someone else. How did you handle that? Because we can either do two things with tension. We can either just not deal with it. We can just push it to the side, think about it later, or let it build up inside of us and just let it all explode at one moment. Or we can give it to God. How did you handle that tension? Did you let it build up inside of you? Or did you just simply say, God, I need your help with this? You see, with all this tension that Paul is addressing in the early church, we We have to get away from that idea that the early church was perfectly united and had no issues. The early church faced the same issues that we face today. And I think that's key, because to understand what it is to have a life with Christ, our lives are going to be full of tension every day. It's not going to be some picture-perfect world where everything is happy-go-lucky when you have Jesus in your life. There are going to be moments like that. There are moments in time where we're full of peace and joy, but there are also moments in life where we go through this tension. And even seasons of doubt. And like we talked about before, beginning of the, I think it was about September. Yeah, it was about September. We talked about how doubt is perfectly natural and that's okay. Doubt is okay to have. It's a part of our journey in faith, regardless of where we are in our lives. Because I understand that we are all in different parts of our lives here. But I think it's also okay to understand that tension, that anger, that any friction, that's okay too. Because the reason I asked, how did you handle any tension that you had, any anger that you had, that shows how you grew from it. How you handle tension or anything shows growth or the need for growth. And I think Paul is very tuned to that when he's talking about all of this. Verse 8, how Paul starts to talk about how he's longing to visit Rome. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way will be opened for me to come to you. You see, again, here's a thing of tension, because Paul is understanding what's happening. He's affirming the positive of what's going on here. He's hearing about the faith that the church in Rome is preaching. Kind of like when people hear about Mars Hill, the faith that this church preaches, and not necessarily preaches, but just shows by how we love each other and love others in this community. Paul is understanding that there are doubts that he wants to come, but he's saying, no, things in life have come up. Again, one of my favorite things that my mom says when we go through struggles is just that life happens. Life is hard. It's not an easy thing. But the thing is, we have to understand through tension comes growth. And really, to get through any sort of tension, we have to understand our identity. And that identity is being children of the King. Amen? Thank you, Levi. Verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a strong, that I might have a harvest with you, just as if I had among other Gentiles. You see, in times of tension, the important part about friendships, or it's important to have friendships, because they're there to build each other up. When you had tension with someone or something in your life, and you think about how you reacted to it, who did you go to? Did you go to someone for support, just to vent? Or did you become the person that someone vented to? And again, I ask all these questions because I understand a lot of the people in this room have a lot more answers than I do. But the reason I ask is because that way it's a moment of self-reflection. Because this way you can reflect on where your relationship with God and each other is. How did you handle that tension? Verse 14, I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. In my little cheater's note right here, Luther's gateway, Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church, he was very big on Paul's saying of, by faith we are saved alone, not through works. In verse 17, it goes on to say, For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Right here it says, verses 16 through 17, a capsule summary of Paul's message to the Romans changed the reformer Martin Luther forever. After he finally understood the phrase righteousness from God, Luther said, I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. This whole of Scripture took on a new meaning. This passage of Paul became to me a gateway to heaven. Notice this phrase. The righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. From rich to poor, to believer to non-believer. You see, one of the key things that we have to understand, like I said before, God is not looking for a perfect Christian. He's not looking for us to fill the boxes. Did I pray today? Did I give money to the poor? Did I tell someone that I love them today? What God is looking for in a relationship with us, what Jesus is looking for, is a person who will simply follow, who will simply pursue with the best of their ability. Understanding that work is not enough to win God's love. To get through tension, any tension that we have between us and God. Even if we come to God in an angry way, in an angry time, I still believe that God values that so much just simply because we are talking to Him. And that we are being honest with Him. So then, when was the last time you were honest with God? I mean, if it was this morning, hey, good for you. When was the last time you were honest about God with tension that you were going through? Or, I ask the question, have you actually ever been honest with God? I don't know. That's a question for you to answer. Again, God is not looking for perfect people. He is looking for faithful, honest people. And as long as we understand our identity is truly rooted in Christ, that we have a calling to fulfill our specific purpose in this community as an individual, but that we also have the macro vision of our purpose, which is loving everyone, everyone being in community with each other. I think that's the best place to start when we deal with tension. So all I ask as we go into this next 3 weeks, as we go through what it looks like to have tension, I simply ask, be honest with yourself. And this goes for me too. Be honest with ourselves and to be honest with God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.